This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a joy to see all of your faces here in the sanctuary and to welcome those who are joining us online as we enter into this time of worship together. Welcome, and a special welcome to you if you are visiting with us for the very first time. We're glad that you're here and hope that you have a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you and feel warmly welcomed by the loving community that is West End United Methodist Church. I would invite all of us to register our attendance this morning. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and those will be passed down the row. If you're worshiping with us online, there should be a link you can click on to register that way. If you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, share an email address or a mailing address with us, and that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you and tell you a little bit more about who we are. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. If you have a child 3 years old through fifth grade, we want to let you know that they will be meeting all together in Sunday school this morning up on the fourth floor. So from 3 years old through fifth grade up on the fourth floor this morning. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, when we remember those who have given their lives in the midst of war. And the building will be closed tomorrow to mark Memorial Day. Next Sunday is Pentecost, June 5th, the birthday of the church. It will be a glorious Sunday here as we worship together. And we begin our summer Sunday school series, say that three times fast, downstairs in McWhorter Hall at 9:45. This is a wonderful opportunity. If you haven't been part of a Sunday school class before, this is open to everyone, and all adult Sunday school classes participate in this gathering. So it's a great way to get to know one another in a new setting. And our own Steph Fulbright will be leading that class, and it will be a great opportunity for learning and fellowship. Vacation Bible School registration is ongoing. You can go to our website /VBS and register your child or children for Vacation Bible School at the end of June. It's going to be great together. And finally, today we have been having some fire alarm problems. So should the fire alarm go off in the middle of worship, we're going to ignore it. And we'll give it just a few minutes, and Robert and Jim and others know how to fix it, but it might go off for about a minute, but we don't need to get up and leave the building. Unless Robert comes in and says, get up and leave the building, then we'll know to do that. But don't be alarmed if the fire alarm goes off. Ha-ha, ba-dum-bum. Okay. I'm here all week. So this morning, we are finishing up our sermon series that we've been sharing for the past 5 weeks, digging more deeply into the vows we make when we become members of this congregation. This morning we consider what it means to bear witness to the love of God in this world. So as we open our lives to be called once again to witness to our faith, let us worship God together.
Thank you. Christ's crucifixion is a testimony to his love for humankind.
We bear witness to the suffering of Christ.
Christ's resurrection is a testimony to his victory over death. All are invited to participate in the life of Christ, both suffering and joy.
We enter the family of Christ, bearing witness, make a testimony of his life, give a life to guide us on our
path. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are free from our captivity of sin and death, from gratitude for God's marvelous love for all the world. Let us confess our sins, confident that we will receive God's grace and mercy. Holy One, who made yourself nothing so that everyone might receive you, we confess our from the things we ought to bear witness to, the suffering of our neighbors, the joy of our friends, the small divine actions that shape our days. Focus on our plans, glows and longing. We miss your presence in the world around us. Let our witness to you crucified. Let our witness to your resurrection invite us to celebrate life. Let our witness to your compassion invite us attentiveness to the world around us. By bearing witness, bring closer to you in your abundant love. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. Glory to God. And as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever way that you may feel comfortable. The peace of God, the peace of Christ be with you.
Will you join with me in the prayer for illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Acts 10, 34 to 48. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism of John announced how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite all of the children who are here who'd like to come down and meet me up front. And if you're worshiping at home, just get a little closer to your screen. I have a story I want to share with you this morning. Hey, come on down. It's good to see all of you. Thanks, Nancy. Let's see, you can come up through this way, through the middle here, and have a seat. Thank you, Francis. Some of you may not have met Miss Francis before. She's working with us this year and doing congregational care. She's one of our pastors this year, so hope you have a chance to get to know her. Okay. Well, today we're talking about what it means to be a witness, what it means to help people know that God loves them, how we help people know about God. Sometimes we tell people, but sometimes we can help people know about God's love by not even saying a word. So I want to tell you this story. Have any of you ever seen this book? It's called The Rabbit Listened. Now, I'm not going to read all the pages, but I'm going to use some of the pictures to tell you the story. So there was a kid whose name is Taylor, and Taylor liked to build things, and he built this big thing made of blocks and was so proud of it until, crash, for some reason a flock of birds flew through and knocked all of his blocks down. And Taylor was very sad. And he was feeling all sorts of feelings. You can imagine, you'd be sad, you'd be angry, you'd all sorts of things. So all these different animals came by to talk to Taylor. The first one was the chicken, who said, "Let's talk about it. Talk, 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 cluck, 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 talk, talk, talk." Taylor didn't feel very cared about. And then the bear came by and said, "Let's get mad about it. Let's yell together." But Taylor didn't really want to do that either in that moment. And then there were all these other animals who came by. The hyena said, "Hey, let's laugh about it. Ha, 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 ha." The ostrich said, "Let's forget and pretend it never happened," and buried its head in the sand. The snake came by and said, "Let's go knock down somebody else's. That'll make us feel better." But none of those animals really made Taylor feel better. And then along came the rabbit. Very quietly, just came up to Taylor and sat down. Didn't even say a word. And sat and sat. And Taylor finally said, "Please stay with me." And after a while, Taylor started to talk about what had happened. And Taylor got mad, and Taylor cried, and Taylor laughed, and Taylor got to express all the feelings because Rabbit was just there, listening. And finally, after Taylor had gotten out all of these feelings, Taylor said to the rabbit, "I think I'm ready to try and build something again." And so they started together. Sometimes it's good to be like the rabbit And if there's somebody who's crying or someone who's having a hard time, it's okay just to sit down next to them. Maybe pat them on the knee or on the shoulder and just say, I'm here. And they'll know that God's with them too. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for those friends who can come and sit with us. And just by being there, help us to feel better. They remind us that you're always with us and we're never alone. Help us to see times in our life, maybe today or tomorrow or the next day, when we can be that kind of friend too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Francis to Children's Church. If you've been worshiping with us during the past few weeks, whether online or in person, then you've had the opportunity to speak aloud those vows of membership. We say them at baptisms, and we say them when new members join. We have some new members joining at 11 o'clock today, so the 11 o'clock crowd will have a chance to say it, that we renew our commitment to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And we've taken each of these promises one by one over the past few weeks and looked at them together and considered, what does it mean that we offer our prayers, that we participate in the ministries of the church by our giving and our serving? And today, all of that comes to a close as we consider together what it means that we participate in the life of the church with our witness. What does that conjure up for you, that word witness? What does it mean to you to be a witness to your faith? Well, if you're like me, I've often carried with me a pretty narrow definition of what witness means. As if it just means sitting down and talking to someone and telling them about your faith in the hope that you might convert them or bring them to be a person of faith or at least invite them to church. And that is one way that we bear witness in the world. But this morning I want to consider a broader understanding of how we witness and how we're called to witness in the world. One of the most beautiful statements I've ever heard about witness comes at the end of the wedding ceremony in the United Methodist Book of Worship. I've had the opportunity over the past 18 months or so to do a lot of weddings. We had weddings that were scheduled for 2020 that got postponed to 2021 and 2022, and so I've been doing a lot of weddings lately, and it's been such a joy. And there's this moment right before I say they can kiss each other, where I offer a final benediction to the whole congregation. And right out of the book of worship, here's what it says. Bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends. Isn't that beautiful? Bear witness to the love of God in this world. How many different ways do we have to do that? To dig a little further into what it means for us to bear witness, we have before us the 10th chapter of Acts, where we see Peter bearing witness to a group of Gentiles. We even have the word witness that appears a couple of times in the text itself, which is always exciting. Now, Bill could only read part of the story for us because it's such a long story, but I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to read the whole 10th chapter of Acts. It's a wonderful, powerful story. But let me tell you a little bit of the context. If you worshiped with us last week, you know that by the end of chapter 9, Peter is in the city of Joppa. When chapter 10 begins, Peter is up on the roof of the house where he's staying praying, and he has this vision of all the different animals of the world, and God says to Peter, basically, all of these animals are clean. I declare all of these animals clean. Now, Peter had grown up in the Jewish faith where certain animals were clean and certain were unclean, and you had to keep your distance. And we soon learn that this vision is not so much about food as it is about people. God is preparing Peter to welcome people who before Peter would have considered unclean, Gentiles, non-Jews. So Peter's having this vision, he's trying to figure out what it means, and at the very same time, there's a man in Caesarea whose name is Cornelius. He is a Roman centurion, an officer in the occupying army of Judea. He's a Gentile. And yet, having lived among the Jews, he has come to some sort of belief in Yahweh, in the God of the Jews. He is a praying man and a generous man, and he too has a vision. And in his vision, God says to him, "Send to Joppa for a man named Peter." And so as Peter is coming down off the roof from his prayers, he's greeted by these Gentiles who say, "Come and see Cornelius in Caesarea." And in that moment, Peter decides to go. And Peter says once he arrives, "You know and I know that I'm not supposed to be here, that Jews are not supposed to associate with Gentiles. We're not supposed to go into your homes, but God told me to show up. And so here I am." And even in that action, Peter is bearing witness to a God whose love is getting broader and broader and broader. Peter's bearing witness to a God whose love includes the Gentiles, includes everyone, includes whosoever will, as John Wesley would say. So just by showing up and being present, Peter's bearing witness to the inclusive love of God. And then there's this moment that I find actually kind of funny. Cornelius says, "Okay, I've gathered my whole household. I've done what God told me to do. I've brought you here. Now start talking." And Peter's like, "Okay, well, let me tell you what I saw." And then Peter bears witness to his life with Jesus. He just tells them what he saw Jesus teach and preach, and how he saw Jesus heal, and how he saw Jesus crucified. And then he was raised from the dead and appeared to some of them. And Peter saw it. It's not about how great Peter is. It's not about all these wonderful things that Peter's done. He's just saying what he's experienced. And then it's so beautiful how it happens. While Peter's still speaking, he doesn't even get to finish what he's saying. It's so not about Peter that while he's still talking, the Holy Spirit comes and fills all of the Gentiles in the room. And Peter witnesses it. And all of these people that he used to think were unclean, that he had to distance himself from, are filled with the Holy Spirit just as he was. And so then, what happens next in chapter 11, he goes back to Jerusalem to all of the leaders of the Christian church at that moment, all of whom were Jewish in background, and he says, "I got to tell you what I just saw. The Holy Spirit has now filled Gentiles, and this is a whole different situation than we thought. We've got to change our minds about some things. We've got to change the way we do things because God has now included not just Jews, but Gentiles." So he bears witness to what he saw, and he brings about change in the church. So as we hear Peter's story, the question is rising up to the surface for us. How do you and I bear witness to the love of God in this world so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends? For some, it is showing up. Just showing up as Peter showed up at Cornelius's house. It's showing up at the home of a friend who's just lost a loved one. Just like in the children's story, you don't have to say a word. You just show up. And somehow that bears witness to the presence of God. Many of you have the church t-shirts or the bumper stickers on the back of your car that say, God loves everyone unconditionally. We have those signs out on the outside of our church. And I can tell you story after story of people who have been moved by that witness, who see that message and say, I am loved by God. People who are joining this church because they want to be part of a church that bears witness to the unconditional love of God in this world. Bill Ferris gave me permission to tell a story he shared in Bible study on Tuesday morning. Some of you know Bill. He's a cancer survivor. And he got an invitation last week to participate in a fishing camp with a group of other cancer survivors or cancer patients. And in that small group of men who spent a few days fishing together, there was a man named Carlos who had come from, I think it was Chicago. He was diagnosed with cancer after he'd been released from prison. He'd been shot 9 times in a car that had over 22 bullet holes in it. He'd lived a hard life, a violent life. And he was saying to Bill, I just don't think God could ever forgive me. And Bill was able to pass along the good news that he had heard from someone else when they told their story. And he told Carlos, God has already forgiven you a long time ago. The only thing that's left is for you to forgive yourself. Bearing witness to the love of God in this world. How do we bear witness to the love of God in this world, in this moment? As we have witnessed the horrors of 2 mass shootings in 2 weeks. How do we stay present to that when there's such a temptation to just shut it out and not think about it and not go there because it hurts so much to see and to think about? But by showing up to the suffering in our world, we can speak a witness, we can bear witness, and we can name the fact that gun violence is now the number one cause of death among children in America. We can bear witness and say, there's something wrong with that. We can bear witness to the fact there's something wrong when an 18-year-old can go on his birthday and buy a weapon of mass destruction when he can't rent a hotel room or rent a car or even buy alcohol. We can bear witness to what we see in our world. We can bear witness to a God who dreams for the day when we turn our weapons into plowshares. We can bear witness to a Christ who says, let the children come to me, and woe to those who put a stumbling block in front of any of these little ones. We can bear witness to the kingdom of God that is God's dream. And we can go and tell what we see and go to the authorities and try to make change so that all of us together might build a world that looks more like the beloved community that we're designed for. We are called to be witnesses to the love of God, to the presence of God, to the forgiveness of God, to the dream of God's kingdom. Who in your circle, in your family, in your circle of friends, is someone who is stranger to love? Is there someone in your life to whom love is a stranger? Then go, my friends, bear witness to the love of God so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends. Amen.
Please rise in body or in spirit. One of the ways that we bear witness to love to one another every Sunday is by professing our faith openly. Please turn with me to page 883 in your hymnal, and let's say together the affirmation of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team that will pray for you throughout the week, please find the gray card in the pew rack in front of you, and you can fill that out and put it in the offering plate in a few moments. If you're worshiping with us online, you can click the Contact Us and share your prayer request with us there. Our deepest sympathies are extended to the family and friends and the family who were friends of West End member Martha Ann Likens, who passed away on Friday, May 27th. A celebration of life will be held here at West End on Saturday, June 11th at 2 p.m., with a visitation starting at 1 p.m. in Reed Hall. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of protection and peace, we come to you weary, brokenhearted, and afraid. Why is it so dangerous to be a Black person in a grocery store? Immigrants from Taiwan in a church, or a child at a desk in a classroom? We rub our eyes and will our minds to stop the imagery, for it's too much to hold, and yet someone must hold it. We know that you hold the images and the very lives of those lost and those grieving. May the words of Isaiah 43:29 comfort and inspire us. God sees what is unjust. God hears our lament. God weeps with us when we grieve, and grieves the heart of God. We grieve and we pray for Uvalde, for Buffalo, and for Laguna Woods. Lord, heal our collective wounds. Lord, heal our individual hearts. Lord, give us the kingdom imagination to see and create a world without violence, starting with our own hearts and actions. Give us the courage and boldness to plead the case of our children, to take anti-racist action, and to hold tight to your promise that no matter what we do or don't do, no matter what happens or doesn't happen, we are held in your love. And now we pray the prayer together you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. so that we might continue our vital ministries, both in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
invite the congregation to be seated for just a moment, and our youth and adults who are going to Alaska to come forward and stand along here and face the congregation so they can see who is going to bear witness to the love of God on our behalf in Alaska. It has been a couple of years since we've had the privilege of commissioning a youth team going out in ministry. Because of COVID, they've been pretty limited in what travel they could do. But this group, there will be 12 youth and 3 adults are going to Alaska, leaving Friday, right? To go in the name of Christ and to serve and to be served by the people there in Anchorage. And the ministry they're working with is Praying Pelican in Anchorage, Alaska. And we just want to say that we rejoice that you have said yes to this ministry, to devote your time and talent and energy to the people of Anchorage. The people of Anchorage will also be in mission and bearing witness to you as they likewise share their faith. So go as pilgrims, witness to God at work there, and join in God's work. I would invite you to turn and face me as I ask you this commissioning question. Will you agree to carry forward this ministry in the Spirit of Christ, in cooperation with your fellow team members and leaders, and with respect for the local church, its ministries, and hosts? If so, say, I will. Okay, and Pastor Stacy and I are going to spread out and invite you to kneel as we together say a prayer for all of you as you go forth in Christ's name. Let us pray. Ever-present God, we ask that you would send your blessings upon these your servants, soon to go forth to join you in mission with the people of Anchorage. Surround them as they travel. Whether they get tired, get blisters, get overwhelmed with information, or can't wait each morning to see what is new, help them to know that you're with them. Give each one patience and kindness. Strengthen them with energy and endurance. Help them to embrace this opportunity to grow together as a group. Give them time to listen for you and time to share their lives with others. Help them remember that the world you love includes people on planes, individuals they'll be helping, and everyone they encounter. We ask all these things so that your name will be glorified through their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may stand. And friends, we ask that you would just be praying for them this week as they prepare to go, and Friday as they take off, and all of next week as they share in ministry. You will be in our hearts and in our prayers. Go in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
think you know what comes next. As we go from this time of worship, bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in us generous friends. Amen.